Welcome to Torah Timach Hanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we will be studying Yeshayahu Perek Ches, the 8th Perek. This Perek is going to be a continuation of us seeing Yeshayahu's life as a symbol of what he is trying to say to the people. So far in the last Perek, we saw two of his children, the one, Sha'ar Yashuv, and the other one, Immanuel, being a reference to what the people should prepare themselves for or hope for in the coming times. His story continues here in Perek Ches. Vayomer Hashem Elai. Hashem turns to Yeshayahu and tells him, Kach lecha gilyon gadol, take a scroll, v'chsov alav becheret enosh, and write in it in very clear font, lemaher shalal chashbaz, which means to hasten looting and speed up the spoils. It's kind of saying the same thing twice. This is one of many places in Nach where we see that the Navi actually embodies or acts out the Nevuah. And it's not just a discussion or dialogue between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, he's going to take the scroll and he's going to write these words. And in fact, we're told that since he has to write it Becheret Enosh, in visual representation, the way that the Radak reads that is that this isn't just something which happens in a vision. But Hashem says, actually write this down. Pen this out for people to see. And Rashi says it should be written in the clearest font possible so everyone can see it. This needs to be available for all. Because, Pasuk Beis, ve'eida li edim ne'emanim, and he takes two witnesses. We know in Halacha that we need two reliable witnesses to certify different types of halachic documents. And this seems to be an important halachic document because he takes two witnesses. Es Uriah HaKoen, the Es Zachariah ben Berachyahu. Two different people here to testify that this thing is being signed by him. Who are these people? Well, it seems Ibn Ezra tells us that Uriah was the Kohen Gadol at the time. And Zachariah ben Yeverechyahu was also an important person at the time. And they will be the ones to testify to this writing. Now, what's interesting is the Gemara points out to us that this Zechariah is exactly the name as the Zechariah we're going to meet in Bais Sheni. We know one of the three prophets who prophesied during the Second Temple period with Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And it's the same name, which is interesting because that really lends itself to a bigger discussion about the prophecies in Yeshayahu in general, which we haven't spoken up until now, which is that the prophecies in Yeshayahu have a certain element of ambiguity to them. It's unclear exactly when the time period of the prophecies belongs to. For example, here when it talks about this spoils being taken, so many of the commentators understand it's talking about the destruction of the Shomron and the people of Aram at the hands of Asher, based on the last Perek. But Rashi says it's talking about the Sancheirev destroying the 10 tribes and also Nebuchadnezzar exiling the last two tribes. And this ambiguity, I think, is important because we, thousands and thousands of years later, are reading prophecies which can apply to our times too. And the echoes belong in so many different generations because they are timeless. And that is indeed why they're written down. And now we're going to see Yeshayahu's third child. Pasuk Gimel tells us, Ve'ekrev el ha-neviyah, he is going to come close to this prophetess, probably his wife, Ve'tahar ve'teled ben, and she will give birth to a child. Vayomer Hashem Elai, Hashem said to me, Krashmo, name this child, Maher Shalal Chashbaz. You have, your third child is also going to symbolize what the generation needs to hear, which is that these enemies, Aram and Yisrael, will be destroyed, decimated, and their belongings will be taken as spoils. Because Pasuk Dalet tells us, Ki beterev yeda hana'ar kro aviv ve'imi, before this child can call his parents mother and father, Yisa eschel Damesek ve'eschalal Shomron lifnei melech Asher. Damascus and Shomron are going to be destroyed at the hands of the Assyrian army. And clearly over here, we're speaking about the 10 tribes, not the remaining Yehud and Binyamin who managed to overcome the Assyrian army, as we spoke about last Perek. Here we're talking about the tribes that are going to be destroyed because of the Assyrian army. And why are they going to get that punishment? Pasuk Vav says, Ya'an ki ma'as ha'am hazeh ismei ha-shiloach. It is because this nation, these 10 tribes, the people, Malchus Yisrael, have rejected the mei ha-shiloach, The Me'er Shiloach is a reference to the pool of Gihon, where the kings of Yehuda were anointed. In other words, what they're rejecting here is they're rejecting the Malchus, they're rejecting the kingdom of Yehuda. And why are they rejecting it? Because it goes ha'olchim la'at, it goes slowly. And instead they choose Masos et Ritzin ben Remaliahu. They choose Ritzin and Pekach ben Remaliahu. Why? Because, and again, we're comparing water and water. Instead of going for the slow water of the people of Yehuda, instead HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send them the mighty waters of Asher. That's the next pasuk. Lachen hinei Hashem ma'ale alehem es me ha'nahara ha'tzumim v'harabim es melech Asher. If you are going to reject the thin still waters of Yehuda, you're going to instead receive the tumbling, tumultuous waters of Assyria. And why is Assyria compared to such mighty water? Because we know that the Assyrian army prided itself in uprooting people from one place to another and creating confusion. It's a marble. It's a flood. It rushes in and it creates havoc and destruction. In other words, instead of choosing stable waters, what they really want is they want a flood. And this flood is going to start to make its way to the area of Yehuda. Pasuk Ches. V'chalaf b'Yehuda shataf v'avar ad tzavar yagia. The waters will come all the way to the people of Yehuda and it will reach up to their neck as if they too are going to drown. V'haya mutos knafav male rochav artzecha Immanuel. But you, Hashem, will be with us and you will spread yourself out and you will save us from this mighty waters of the people of Asher. And then the next two psukim offer a warning to the people of Asher, the people of Assyria, who are first going to attack the 10 tribes successfully and then attempt to attack the remaining parts of Eretz Israel and of the Jews. It says, Ra'u amim v'chatu. Destroy, O people, destroy the 10 tribes, v'chatu, and then be chopped down yourselves later on when you try to destroy Yehuda. Ha'azinu kol merchakei aretz. Listen up, you people from far away, you Assyrians. Hit azru v'chatu. Once again, you will become strong and then you will be broken. You will become strong and then you will be broken. Utsu etza v'sofar daver daver v'lo yakum ki Immanuel. Once again, we have that line, Immanuel. You will get advice and you will have all these schemes, but in the end, Hashem will be with us. The next part of the perek deals with an apparent coup. There seems to be that there was a plot even within Chizkiyahu's own camp. Chizkiyahu, the righteous Chizkiyahu, who manages to, and we'll see this later on in the Sefer, who manages to save the people from the Assyrian army because of his righteousness. He had an advisor called Shevna. And Shevna rebelled against Chizkiyahu and gathered up people to join him in the rebellion. In fact, not just people, but it seems that he gathered majority of the people. Let's see how we see that in the Psukim. Ki ko omar Hashem elai b'chezkas yad. Hashem said it to me in the prophecy. And to me, meaning to Yeshayahu, and the commentators point out that it was Yeshayahu as well who was tempted to follow this rebellion because it was so compelling and so interesting to him. Lo tomrun kesher l'kol asher yomar ha'am hazeh kasher. Don't join the conspiracy just because everybody's saying that there's a conspiracy. Ve'et mora'o lo tir'u, and don't fear them just because they're scary. V'lo ta'aritzu, and don't say that they are stronger. This is one of the cases Rashi points out where you shouldn't follow the majority. We know there's a halacha that achare harib lahatos, that when there is a majority, you should follow the majority. But here Rashi says that Hashem is telling Yeshayahu, even though the majority are following Shevna, don't join in. It's not going to work out well for you. You should follow Chizkiyahu. He is the righteous one. And how interesting it is that this, again, this rebellion is so tempting and so confusing to know what's wrong and right, that the majority are following Shevna. Yeshayahu wants to follow Shevna and Hashem says don't. Because Pasuk Yud Gimel tells us, Es Hashem tzavakos ototakdishu. Sanctify Hashem. V'hu morachem. He is the one who you should fear. V'hu ma'aritzem. And he really is your strength. Don't be afraid of the Assyrians. Don't go into the conspiracy with Shevna, but follow Hashem according to the vision that Chizkiyahu has. Because the hayala mikdash, Hashem could be a sanctity for you, or le'ever negev, or a stone that could smite you. Letzur, a rock, ulemichshol, and a stumbling block. L'shtei bate Yisrael, to these two different houses in Israel. And perhaps these two houses is a reference to, on the one hand, Chizkiyahu. If you follow Chizkiyahu, Hashem will be your salvation. He'll be your rock. But if you follow Shevna, then that rock will turn into a stumbling block, something which will hit you and something which will bring you down to your knees. And thus, in response to this idea, Yishayahu turns and he says, Pasuk Tes, Zayin Sor Teuda, I want to engrave a teaching, Chatom Torel Belimudai, and seal something for my students. What is this Pasuk talking about? Pasuk Tes Zayin. So it's interesting because up until now it could be political. Don't follow the conspiracy, follow Chizkiyahu, there is a battle, you should choose the right thing. But at this point now we realize there's actually something deeply spiritual going on. This is not just politically unwise to follow Chizkiyahu, because because we want to go for the still thin waters of Chizkiyahu, the stability as opposed to the tumultuous waters, which is the alternative. But actually, you need to follow Chizkiyahu because he is the spiritual leader, not just the political king. And so Rashi says this idea is, it's a warning. Consolidate Torah to those who care. Tzur Teuda v'chotem Torah b'limudai means turn to the people who care about Torah and group with them. The Metzudas David adds, he says, because if you don't, then you don't have a fighting chance against all of these things that come up, which are so distracting for you, whether they're from without, like the Assyrians, or from within, like Shevna. But the Radak says it's actually not Hashem talking to Yishayahu, it's Yishayahu talking to himself. At this point, when Hashem describes the rebellion, he says, I've actually given up. There are so few people who care about Torah and mitzvahs, so what now I'm going to do is, I want to turn to my students, and I'm going to focus my energy on Limudai, those who really want to learn Torah. I'm going to seal off Torah to only the people who care about it. Because V'chikiti laHashem, I will wait for Hashem, Hamastir panav mi Beis Yaakov, who hides his face from Beit Yaakov, maybe here means the 10 tribes, v'kiviti lo, and I'm going to continue to hope for him, because even though he does reject Beit Yaakov, the 10 tribes, maybe he won't reject the remaining two. V'hine anochi v'hayeladim asher natan li Hashem le'oto t'lemoftim, I, myself, and my children are a sign of God's loyalty to us. Maybe I, Yishayahu, because of his name, as we said at the beginning of the Sefer, or because of the things that he's done. For example, like he's written this parchment of paper. And he says, this will remind us that Hashem will take care of us. And don't get caught away. If the other people come to him, they say, go search out the magicians, Vahayadonim, and all these people who do this alternative kind of necromancy. Don't follow them, because that's another short-term solution. You might find a political short-term solution with Shevna, or a spiritual short-term solution with your magicians. But you've got to remember, Halo Am El Elokav Yedrosh, each nation needs to call out to their gods, Ba'ad HaChayim Va'el Hamaveth, El Hamesim. And you are Jews, and therefore you shouldn't be turning to the other gods. Pasuk Chaf, le Torah ve le Teuda. You should turn to Torah. You should turn to the teachings of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Im lo yomru kedavar hazeh asher ein lo shachar. Because turning and believing that you need to go search out other forms of idolatry, ein lo shachar, has no dawn. It's like going through a night and hoping that the sun is going to rise and it's never going to rise again, because there is no hope for that. It's based on nothingness. It's based on stupidity, and it's not worth your efforts. Va'avarba, anyone who does start doing this magic, naksheva ra'av, will encounter hardship and famine. Va'hayaki yirav, and as they get more and more hungry, the hitkatsef, they're going to get angry. V'kilel b'malko u'be'elokav, only then will they suddenly curse their king and their gods, because they'll realize their gods can't bring them salvation, upana lemala, and then they will turn up to Hashem. And this perek, which again opens up with Yishayahu begging the people to have faith and to hold on, because as long as they stay loyal to the Torah and the Teuda, they will be saved. And at the same time realizing that that's not going to work out, certainly not for the 10 tribes. And even within Yehuda and Binyamin, it's not going to work out entirely. So the last pasuk of this perek really gives a foreshadowing of the exile. And we know that the Assyrian exile takes place in three different stages. And so this pasuk is going to talk about all three stages. Well, it tells us pasuk chaf gimel, ki lo mu'af la'asher mutzak la'ka'et harishon. For he who was not wearied the first time the land was distressed, Hey, Kal Arza Zvulun, the Arza Naftali, will be exiled with Zevulun and Naphtali, the lands of Zevulun and Naphtali, v'acharon hechbid, and the last one will be the hardest one. There'll be three different, the commentators explain, there'll be three different levels or three different times of exile. The first Assyrian exile is going to be in the time of Tilgat-Pilaser, who's going to exile some of the people of Israel. And then afterwards, Zvulun and Naphtali will be exiled. And then finally, the last, V'hacharon Hichbid, that is Sancheirev. The Sancheirev is going to come in and really finish the job off and take out those 10 tribes, never to be seen, at least until the time of Mashiach. Thank you for learning with me today. Our learning today was sponsored L'Refuah Shelema, L'Yonina Sima, Bas Daphne Hinda, Jennifer Hayakara Shelano, ולפצועי צהל, אחינו היקרים, בתוך שער חולי ישראל, נינה וחיים שנקה.